Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
Take your copy of God's Word and turn with me over to the book of Hebrews as we're continuing our study through the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 4 this morning. We're focusing on verses 14, 15, and 16, those last three verses. So if you want to find that place there, we all want to have the Word of God open for our hearts this morning so that we can hear what God has to say. And I don't know about you, but in this journey of faith, sometimes you need the Lord to bring a victory, to bring an overwhelming sense of His presence, and to provide for you and provide for me the things that we need, the supplies that we need to have victory. And those two things are grace and mercy. And that's what we're going to learn about today, that God does supply mercy and grace for our journey of faith. In fact, God is inviting everyone here in the sanctuary, those listening online, those listening on the radio this morning, God is inviting all of us to take one step closer to Him, to take a step today, to choose to believe that God can supply what is necessary for the journey of faith. I am assuming we're all on the same pilgrimage. Amen. Anybody going to heaven? Amen with me? That's where I'm going. This world is not my home. It's not your home. We are on a journey to the heavenly Zion, the city that God built. And as Abraham walked by faith, we're looking for that city of the eternal city that God builds. And along the way, I don't know about you, anybody experienced trials, difficulties, hardships? I do. If you didn't, raise your hand, then shame on you. You're not being honest with yourself this morning, because the devil doesn't want us to get there. You realize that. He wants us to stumble and fall. And I realize, listen, I need God's mercy. I need that grace every morning to sustain me. Ever wonder if I've got the spiritual stamina to make it? You ever ask yourself that? Things are difficult. Do you ever wonder if you've got the spiritual fiber in your being to reach the golden shores? This text is going to speak to us this morning and remind me that God has all that you and I need for the journey and to enter into that rest that He has for us. And so this is not only an exhortation, which is a sermon which is preached to us, but it's also an encouragement. Listen, together as a community, we can find these things together. So let us do these things. Let's hear what God has to say. Let's hear what God is telling us to take a step towards Him, to take a step forward in faith, to not go backwards, listen, to not turn away from the promises that are right there before you and I to experience each and every day, trusting Him, taking at His word. Remember, God has spoken. That's what we discovered in the very beginning of Hebrews. God has spoken a final word in Jesus, a word that you and I need to believe this morning, a word that we need to receive this morning. Now, I know this. Listen, I know this from experience, and you do as well. Hurt people don't typically take a step forward. They don't always come forward for help. Sometimes they step backwards because they've been wounded. And yet God says, I know your situation. I know your trial. I'm inviting you. God is inviting you to choose to believe He can supply that which you and I need, the grace and the mercy. His compassion towards us is why He does that. It's the basis for our hope in so many ways, that there is a compassionate, loving, merciful, gracious God who's reaching to you and to me and saying, come, come, come. And that's what's going to be emphasized here. Listen, you and I can discover today how we can discover and will have confidence to find the grace and mercy that we need in times of need. We can have boldness to approach God and ask of Him. And this text tells us why I should be doing that each and every day. So I want you to stand with me and honor the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, reading verses 14, 15, and 16. If you'll follow along with me, I need this today for my journey of faith. You need this today for your journey of faith. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Seeing then that we have, notice this, a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, thank you that your Son Jesus is a compassionate high priest. Thank you, Father, that we can respond to your invitation today to come to you and find the mercy, find the grace that we need in life. Lord, I pray if there's anyone before me, anyone under the sound of my voice on the radio or watching online, God, I pray that if they, Lord, will recognize today they're in need of grace, I pray they would call on you and that they would discover you're always a God who's near and not far. Lord, you're inviting us to trust and believe. Take you at your word and experience the grace that will satisfy the needs of our souls. Lord Jesus, thank you again that you are there, the intercessor, the high priest who intercedes for us. God, help us to come boldly and run this race, fixing our eyes on you and running the race to win because you've accomplished everything. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said amen and amen. As you're seated this morning, don't close your Bibles. Don't close your hearts to hear what God is saying to you and I. We can have confidence and boldness to come and approach God when we find ourselves in need. We're all needy, amen? Can we admit that today? We all, listen, none of us are sufficient in and of ourselves and have what we need for the journey of faith. We need God, not just for an hour on Sunday morning. We need God each and every day. Now, in this chapter, we saw this last week, I highlighted it, and that there are four times that Paul is going to say this, and I circled these in verse 1, verse 11, verse 14, and verse 16, encourage you to do the same, and then draw the line, the connection, because this is his argument that he's saying. He's saying, let us, that's not a salad, let us do something this morning. And what is it? Let us, listen, let's not be in fear, let's not be in fear of missing the rest that God has given us. There's a promise of rest that remains. Let's enter into that rest and let us fear lest we miss out. Now listen, when we're saying let's not let me, let us. This is a corporate responsibility that we have. This is why membership matters in a church and being in a community of faith. This is why we do these things together, right? Because sometimes, listen, someone stumbles, and it's good to have a brother or sister that says, no, no, get up, let's go, we're going. Amen? Let us fear, lest anybody seem to come short of the rest that God has for us. Beloved, let us be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of disobedience. Listen, some missed out on that rest. So some missed out on God's blessings. Their hearts were hard. Their necks were stiff. Their desires were carnal. Their faith didn't exist. And as a result, they missed the opportunity. Let's not miss it. I don't want anyone to miss it. Amen? I want to bring all that I can with me. I can't take anything with me but people into the heaven. That's all we can take into that eternal rest. So let's be diligent. Let's work hard to enter into that rest. God has spoken to us and promised us that rest remains. Joshua couldn't provide it for the people. Jesus, the better Joshua, provides it for us. I want to encourage the community of faith. Listen, don't miss out. Let us go forward in faith. Let's cling to what God tells us. Let's hold on to his precious promises. Let's remind one another what God says. And let's keep pushing forward in faith. Don't miss out. And that brings us to the next two lettuces down here in verse 14 and verse 16. We've already examined these others over the past 2 weeks. But see, there's a promise for you and for me to go forward in faith. You may waver today, wonder if you have the spiritual stamina to make it. Let us be reminded of what we believe. Let us hold on to our confession. Let's hold it fast. Don't compromise. Don't give into the world. Don't give up on who God is and what he's able to do. Why? We have a confession. And what is our confession? Jesus Christ is our great high priest. The reason I'm going forward in faith, the reason I'm encouraging everyone to go on, I'm reminding myself, I'm considering Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Now, this is significant for us today. Remember, we've already learned in chapter 3, Moses built the tabernacle. Moses built a house for God. He was a faithful servant, but Jesus was the faithful son who was over the house. When God gave the instructions to Moses to build the tabernacle, remember, he said, look, I want you to see this one in heaven. This is the pattern. Now, you just copy it down on earth. And so when you read over there in Exodus, you read in Leviticus about the things that take place and are present in the tabernacle and all the activity that takes place there, those are, listen, they just are following the pattern that God gave Moses on the mountain. And in that tabernacle, not only were there all the pieces of furniture, but God prescribed over for God's people, God prescribed in the book of Leviticus, there in the beginning chapters, that the sacrifices that were required, there was also a group of priests that would intercede when his people came to worship. Those priests and the sacrifices too, we're going to discover in the book of Hebrews, those all point to Jesus. All the furniture in the tabernacle points to Jesus. All of these things are reminders of who Christ is and what he's able to do. And our great confession is this: Jesus is our great high priest. That's the main point. If you want to write in the margin of your Bible, 8:1, that's the main point of the book of Hebrews we're going to get to, we're working towards. But here he highlights, don't let go of what we believe about Jesus. Don't forget who Jesus is. He is our great high priest. Now, we know, if you go study the Old Testament, that God had a priestly order, and that priestly order came from the tribe of Levi. We also know that of all of those priests from the tribe of Levi, everyone had a responsibility, and one had an exceptional responsibility. He got to serve as the high priest. And so while there were many, many priests, there was only one high priest, and he served in that year. Now, he had a special privilege that not all the other priests had to. He had a special privilege where he could go into the presence of God one day of the year. Now, here's the amazing thing. Notice what Paul is saying here in this argument. Beloved, we have a high priest who's not here on earth. He's the great high priest. There is none like him. There were many high priests through the years, but there is only one great high priest. And he's not here on earth at a tabernacle or a temple here on earth. Beloved, he's up there in the heavens. He's passed through to the heavenly places. Remember, the tabernacle was built on the pattern of what Moses saw in heaven. You can see that over in the book of Revelation chapter 15. But there where God's glory fills that tabernacle in heaven, Jesus is the one who intercedes for us because he is there. He is our great high priest. And praise God this morning. As you and I run this journey of faith, we've got one on the other side who touches us on this side and is the go-between. He's the one that Job said, oh, that I had somebody who could stand and present my case. Oh, that we had someone that was there on that side to present our case to God. Praise God we do. Jesus is our great high priest. He's the one interceding between you. Praise God this morning. Stop and think about this. He's not interceding just for Pastor Chris or just for Pastor Scott or just for you, for all believers. Praise God. We all have access to the Father through this same great high priest. And he's not limited like if he was here on earth to be there in Jerusalem at the tabernacle or the temple when it was placed there. Beloved, anywhere you and I grow, we have access through him to the Father in heaven. Now, I need that in my journey of faith. You need that in our journey of faith. We need that as we go forward each and every day to realize there's one in a privileged position at the right hand of the Father. Praise God. Listen, especially when we stumble and fall short. That's why you would go to the tabernacle. That's why you would go to the temple. You'd get your offering. You'd bring your sacrifice. And you would never appear empty-handed, right? you would go and you would present your sacrifice because you fell short and you stumbled and you sinned. And an offering would be presented to the Lord. And that priest that represented you would take a portion of your sacrifice. It'd be burnt on the altar. And then some of the blood may be brought in and mixed with incense. And maybe it was offered up as a prayer. But that high priest, one day of the year, he went even further. And he took the blood there for the atonement of God's people. And he went on the other side of the veil. It's pretty amazing. He went representing the people. He went as God's representative. And see, the picture is Jesus is our great high priest, and he's greater because he's there on the other side. He gives access, availability to anyone. Praise the Lord this morning. You and I can go to him at any time. And he has ascended to the Father, and he will always be at the right hand of the Father until the Father says, go get my children and bring them home. Consider this morning in your race of faith as you and I are journeying. Remember, fixing our eyes, as it'll say in chapter 12, on who? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen? That's how we run this race of faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus and know who he is. He is our great high priest. Now, here's the thing. He has to be our great high priest to serve there because the requirement for entrance into the presence of God is perfection. Has anybody got that this morning? I don't. Anybody stumble and fall short of the glory of God? I do every day. We do. We don't hit perfection every single time. We need perfection to be in the presence of God. And this is what Paul will emphasize now. He's not just our great high priest, the priest. He's the perfect high priest. Notice this, what it says here. We don't have a high priest. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see, listen, while we stumble and fall short and don't possess the perfection that's required to get in, our priest does have that. In fact, we're going to discover later in Hebrews that, you know, priests, they had to offer a sacrifice for themselves before they could minister to the people who came with their burdens and with their needs and their sacrifices. But Jesus didn't have to offer a sacrifice for himself. Why? Because he's perfect. In fact, he can understand what you and I are going through in life and sympathize with us in this sense. Because, see, he put on flesh. He can understand what it's like in this frame because he put it on. And that's important for me to know. And I go and bring my burdens and acknowledge I have needs and I need God's grace and I need his mercy. Listen, I've got one who identified with us. That was the argument over in chapter 2. If you just flip over a couple pages, Paul's already made this point once as we've been walking through the book of Hebrews over in chapter 2. He says this at the conclusion of chapter 2 in verses 17 and 18. Therefore, in all things, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Listen, when Jesus identifies with us, we've got one who can sympathize with us. He knows what it means for us to live in this flesh and to be tempted. In fact, that's the whole point of Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. Jesus was tested. Remember, 40 days in the wilderness, Satan came and brought trial and temptation to him. Over and over again, there's three that are recorded for us to highlight the primary ways that you and I are tempted in life. But he was tempted over those 40 days in many, many other ways. And here's the good news. He was perfect. He never stumbled. He never fell short. That's what Matthew and Luke help us to see. Hey, we've got a perfect Messiah. Now, why is that essential? Because, beloved, if we don't have a perfect Savior who's willing to offer himself in our place, remember we just sang it? The story of redemption written on his hands. The sacrifice. You see, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world, John would tell us in 1 John chapter 2. He offered himself as a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that God requires, if you go over to the book of Leviticus, what it says here is that it has to be without blemish. It has to be perfect. That's all that God will accept. And here's the amazing thing. There's only one lamb that takes away the sins of the world, because there's only one spotless lamb. All those others were just a temporary covering until the Messiah came. Praise God, he's come. And he was perfect. And what he offered was perfect. And I need that, and you need that. Jesus, our confession, historically, Jesus, that's his name, his humanity. Listen, he put on this flesh, even though he is the Son of God. And he put on this flesh and lived a perfect life that you and I couldn't live, so that he could go to a cross and on a cross pay the penalty that my sin deserved, your sin deserved, the sins of the world. The penalty of sin is death. Someone has to pay that penalty. Praise God, he did. The perfect sacrifice. And because of that, when you and I repent of our sins and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. But I see Jesus who died for me. There can be a transfer there when we trust in him, where he takes and pays the penalty for our unrighteousness and clothes you and I in righteousness. So that when the Father sees us, praise God, he sees us through the blood of Christ and that perfection, that righteousness that Christ achieved for us, that we freely receive by his grace and mercy. I mean, we've got to consider that this morning. Listen, as I'm on the journey of faith, when I stumble and fall short, it would be easy for me to say, man, I might as well throw in a towel. I can't do it. But no, if I think about my high priest, who he is, what he's able to do, what he has done for me, I run to him and realize he is the sufficient one who has sympathy and sympathizes with us and understands that. That's not a license for us to keep on sinning. Oh, it's an invitation to say, I don't want to do that anymore, because I know one that's died for me and was perfect. And so I run to him. In all points, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Tempted, tried, 100% pure. He never sinned. And praise God, that's the one that intercedes for you and for me. In my flesh, when I'm tempted, listen, it's easy. I fall short. But if I confess my sins, praise God, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why won't I run to him? Far too often, you know, we live defeated lives because we yield to the temptation. And what I need to do is run to my high priest and realize my sufficiency is in you. Lord, change my life. Not I, listen, but Christ in me. That's our prayer, amen? He must increase, I must decrease. He's the only one that can help me, enable me, help me overcome temptation. And he knows it because he experienced it. And he's given us the secret to having the victory, and that is through the word. Three times he quoted to Satan when he was tempted. Three times he quoted scripture. And that's how you and I oftentimes need to overcome temptation, is building our lives on the word of God. Listen, taking thoughts captive to what God has said in his word. When we're tempted to look for the way of escape that God has promised, according to Paul in Corinthians, that God has promised that he is going to provide the way of escape. And when we're not tempted beyond what we're able, but we can overcome it through Christ. Praise the Lord this morning. By faith in him, we've got one there on the other side. And praise God, he's given us his spirit here to enable us in this journey. And praise the Lord, our sufficiency is in him. He is perfect. Now hear you. Think about this. If that's the high priest interceding for us and he makes us acceptable to the Father where we actually can come, that's why in verse 16 here, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen, y'all, let's run to him. The best thing you and I can do when someone stumbles and falls short, says, I just can't keep going. I don't know how I'm going to do this, is point them to Jesus. Come on, let's go. Let's go boldly. Access has been provided. We can come boldly. Listen, when you went to worship, remember when God's people had when God appeared to them, oftentimes they didn't run boldly to him. When Moses was at the mountain, there on Mount Sinai, and there were the thunder and the lightning and all of that, did the people say, oh, let's go up on the mountain? Oh, no, no, no. Moses, could you go for us? Right? They didn't go boldly. Moses, go. Listen, in the tabernacle, When you went to worship, you didn't say, oh, I'm just going to run right in there and see the Shekinah, you know, what was in that pillar of fire, that pillar of smoke that filled the tabernacle, that led God's people, stood between them and their enemies as they fled Egypt and went out into the wilderness. You didn't just go to the tabernacle and say, I'm just going to go right into God's presence. Oh, no, you didn't do that. You didn't go that boldly like that. Why? You'd die. Sinful man can't approach God in that way. When the high priest himself, you know, no priest who was offering up sacrifices said, well, high priest, I don't care. I'm going to go all the way in today. I'm going on the other side of the veil to the Shekinah glory presence of God. No priest would do that. Why? Because they feared God. Remember Nadab and Abihu? It was early on. God, they offered up strange fire and God took care of that just like that. Even the high priest, when he went in, I mean, there was a reverence there, a fear. He went in, listen, with that sacrifice, and there were the prayers, there was the incense going before him, the smoke going, that was the prayers of the people, that went before him when he passed through that veil, and then he was throwing blood on the mercy seat for the mercy of God to be shown to him. This is the amazing thing. You don't go boldly like that unless something has happened. Why would Paul say we can go boldly to this throne of grace? Where did this grace appear to us? I mean, listen, dead men, listen, we'd be dead if we went before that throne unless there's been grace that's been given to us, and it's the amazing grace of God. You see, this is a throne of grace. This is a grace that Christ showed us when he died for us, that God sent his son, Jesus, to be the propitiation, to pay the penalty that I deserve, you deserve, but he took that for us. And so we've experienced the amazing grace of God, and now we can come boldly. Why? Because when Jesus died, something amazing happened. If you read over there in Mark chapter 15, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, and people who are passing by, they're looking up at him and they're mocking him. And they're saying, come on down, save yourself. You saved others. Can't you save yourself? Come on, Messiah. What kind of Messiah are you? But see, if he comes down, he can't save others. And he hangs there and they mock him and ridicule him and throw insults at him, those on his left and on his right. One of them finally comes to his senses and said, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are you cursing him? We deserve this. He doesn't. And Jesus is hanging there, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And they're looking at him, they think, hey, he's calling for Elijah. And see, they don't even understand. They're so confused, they don't understand about the way of salvation. It's not Elijah who comes in some fiery chariot and takes us away. It's Jesus, the Messiah, that hangs on the cross, the curse on the tree that pays the penalty that we deserve. Oh, let's keep him alive. Maybe we'll see Elijah come. They totally misunderstand salvation and how it's provided by God. And as he's hanging there to be the propitiation for our sins, it's amazing. In the moment it says there in Mark 15 that when he died, something happened. You know what that was? The veil was torn in two from top to bottom. It was rendered. It was torn apart. That meant there was now access to God's throne. And it's a throne of grace in this sense that it's not a throne of judgment because he just took the judgment that we deserve. Now there's only, there's two thrones. One's going to be a throne of grace according to the book of Corinthians that Paul says, listen, believers are going to stand before the Bema seat. And praise God, we don't have to stand before a throne of judgment. That's in the book of Revelation. Anyone who stands there will not live. They'll all die and be cast into hell. The believer knows, listen, Christ has already taken that cup for us, that cup of wrath. He drank that last dreg there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it be, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He drank every drop for us. Praise the Lord this morning. That's why for the believer, what we have access to is a throne of grace. And it's a throne of grace. Listen, you have need this morning. You need some mercy. You need some grace. We can come to him and we can come and watch this. I love this. Notice it is this. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's not just we go, oh, well, there it is right there. I can find it. It's right there. No, 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 no. I can obtain it. I can have it. It's for me. It's for you. God is offering this to us each and every day in our journey of faith. As we're marching to Zion, listen, what you and I have need of, he wants to give us. Praise God, grace gives. Grace is gracious, amen? This is the nature of our God. Stop and think about this. He's a great giver, amen? The giver of every good gift comes where? From the Father above. But what gift? Listen, it's one thing to give gifts. It's another to think. Listen, I love this give. Ready? Giving forgiveness. That's the one we need. It's the first one. The forgiveness gives us an opportunity for him to give even more. So we come and we realize what I have need of, he's offering. And he's extending that to you and to me because of our high priest who intercedes for us, the perfect one who died for us. And God's provision for us to come boldly to is to get grace and mercy, to find mercy first. See, mercy opens the door for grace. We experience those mercies. We can obtain them. Oh man, listen to this. Do you realize this morning, he gives mercies new every morning. Sometimes I don't even approach the throne of grace. He's already extending mercies new every morning. Praise the Lord. Now that's not a license again to sin. I don't want to keep going down that pathway. No, no, no. I've obtained something far greater in Christ. I leave that. I turn. I walk in newness of life. Now I go in this direction and it's right there for me to receive. And God gives it. And then he also, we can obtain grace. We can find grace that helps us in our time of need. Let's go get it. It's available. Aren't you grateful? It's not just limited to the priestly class today, to the preachers and pastors. It's not just limited for the deacons and spiritual leaders in the church. It's not just limited for the men. Praise God, it's for all of us. We can come and have it. I need it. Do you cry out for it? You need it. The provision is there. Are you humble enough recognizing, oh, I need it today. God, I need this. Please supply it. We can come boldly. The offer is there. And by the way, he wouldn't offer it if he didn't have it. But he does. He wouldn't offer it if you and I didn't need it. But we do. In fact, I love over in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Hey, you who have no money, come by and drink. Come by and eat. Buy wine and milk and without money and without price. Why do you spend your money, Isaiah says, for what is not bread? Your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, God says, and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live. You see, this is the invitation of the Old Testament, the New Testament. God's just a gracious God. He's saying, come, come, come while there's time. You surely in a flood of many waters, he will not hear. He's there, though, right now. The opportunity, the invitation is to come. When you have need, I need it every day. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Jesus, I need you each and every day. Man, come. Know who's there on the other side. Man, praise the Lord, we got to go between. Praise the Lord that he made us acceptable. He clothed us in perfection, in righteousness we didn't achieve. Praise God, listen, you can't say, well, preacher, you just don't know what I've been through. You don't know what, I just can't forgive myself. That's not for your prerogative, frankly. God's the one who forgives because he's the one we've offended. He's the one we've sinned against. And by the way, if he says, I take your sin and I put it in the depths of the sea, who are you and I to dredge it up and carry it around and say, I just can't forgive myself? Right? If he separates it as far as the east is from the west, who are you I to say, well, I'm bringing it back. I'm going to carry it around. I can't forgive myself. Don't do that. You, listen, we come and then that sacrifice was sufficient. Once for all time, we'll get to that in the book of Hebrews later. Once for all time. A sacrifice sufficient so that we have access. You see, when you have need, I have need each day, every day. I need to bring that. Overcome the fear of falling short. Overcome the fear of I don't have enough in me to get there. Beloved, look to Jesus, run that race, and trust in his sufficiency. Enter into that rest and find your soul is satisfied. And it rests. And it finds the shalom, the peace that God intended. Some people, they want to give up, throw in the towel. Some listen, This is why they're the example of the Old Testament saints. It's written there. Why, listen, that generation came all the way to the edge and didn't go in. They lacked faith. Oh, we can't beat that enemy. It's too great for us. Yeah, it was too great for you, but it wasn't too great for God. And so they turned back. Some entered into the wilderness, and their hearts were carnal. They said, I want the cucumbers of Egypt. Let's turn back. Moses, there's nothing out here in this wilderness to support us, supply for us. We're going to turn back. Don't be like that generation that gives up, that turns back, that turns away, misses out on the opportunity that God has right before you. Go forward in faith. Sometimes it's important to pray, God, help my unbelief. Lord, help me to believe. Help me to trust in you. Spirit of God, help me. Remind me of the promises of God. By the way, remind yourself this morning, this is let us. This is let us, not just let me. Let us. It's the person beside you, in front of you, behind you, not just your family. It's all of us together as the family of faith. Let's go, y'all. Let's enter into that rest. Let's be diligent to get there. Let's hold fast our confession. I'm telling you, the church is compromising that enough in this day and age, who Christ is and what he's able to do. Let's hold fast and let's go forward and find the provision that God has for you and me this morning. What need do you have this morning? Listen, what need of grace, what need of mercy do you need? There is abundant grace and mercy available this morning, and all you and I have to do is ask. Call on him, to cry out to him in brokenness, in humility. God, I need you. Praise God, he's there, available. There's not a one of us that doesn't need mercy. There's not a one of us that doesn't need grace. But are we humble enough and willing enough to say, God, I need you today? I mean, listen, at the end of the service, that's why we have an invitation. It is the opportunity for you and I to say, I heard God speak, and this is how I need to apply it in my life. Where do you need mercies this morning? Listen, have you stumbled and fallen short? Listen, there's grace and mercy. Look at the cross. Look at your priest, the sacrifice he offered there. It was sufficient. And he wants you and I to be honest and confess it and acknowledge, God, I need you. And it's available right there. A nail-scarred hand reaches towards you and me and says, come, come. Stop worrying about what this world can offer you. It will never satisfy you. No, come. Keep going forward in faith. I am your sufficiency. Rest in me. Trust in me. What grace do you need this morning? I mean, it comes in a variety of manners, all that grace, every good gift, every gracious gift that comes from him. There's a whole smorgasbord of them that we need this morning. And yet he just says, come here, I'll satisfy the hunger. I'll satisfy your soul. I'll supply. And Paul knew this. Many times he needed grace. He needed mercy. He would say, Father, can you remove this thorn from me? My grace is sufficient. Father, can you remove this thorn from me? Paul, my grace is sufficient. Please, Lord, I'm in need of help. My grace is sufficient. Maybe you need it. God, I just need your grace. You know, it's an amazing thing. Sometimes when we pray, and that's what approaching the throne is. It's saying, I need you. The Spirit of God, listen, bears witness in our spirits that we can cry out, Abba, Father, I need you today. Do you need him? Are you willing to acknowledge you need him? Mercy or grace, it's right there, free. And it's not just for this hour, this time we're in the worship service today. Listen, any time of the week, any time, you and I can call on his name. Man, Lord, help us to do it more frequently. Help us choose to believe what this says, to consider our priest, consider his perfection, consider the provision that he offers to you and me, and may we just find mercy and grace. I invite you to find it with me this morning. If you don't mind bowing your heads this morning for just a time of decision, an opportunity for us to say, I've heard God speak this morning, and I know, God, you've showed me I need mercy.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.